No Mercy's in the book. SummerSlam is here and gone. Next up is Hell in the Cell. So much to talk about in so little time. Vito and Drac brings you Running the Ropes. We got a big episode today. I'm excited to get back and talking some wrestling news and notes. Plus, we'll tell you how you can find all of our other shows we've done as you guys listen to today's program on Running the Ropes with Vito and Drac. I am David Vito alongside Adam Drac Mickelson on the other end. So much to talk about in so little time, Drac. First off, I don't want to get too much into what's going on in the world of sports like I normally do, because people aren't talking about sports right now due to what's going on and how powerful social media is with our President of the United States. But for today's episode, we hope you guys are tuning in, no matter whether you love John Cena, whether you hate John Cena, whether you boo Roman Reigns, whether you cheer Roman Reigns. We hope we can all come together as wrestling fans, standing or sitting down, and enjoying another episode of Run the Ropes.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing considering the whole NFL fiasco. I've already screamed out like 3 people on Facebook and probably a solid 10 on Twitter.
Oh man, already?
Yes, and it's just simply because he was like, "This is a good cause." I'm like, "Okay, here's my problem with it. Honestly, this is not an isolated incident. The NFL, the NBA, ESPN in general has been, you know, doing everything except their job, which is talking sports. But you know what? Unlike ESPN and unlike Monday Night Football, you can expect Run of the Ropes podcast to be talking wrestling and only wrestling, which is in fact delightful.
Ooh, I like that. And we'll get into some news about the Hardy Boys and what could be going on with Jeff Hardy, who seems could be out for some time. What does that mean for the broken Matt Hardy gimmick? We'll give you our thoughts and prediction of what could happen with Matt Hardy. But first off, let's
and also whether or not Jason Jordan can become the next Senior Benjamin.
Ooh, I like that.
That's already the speculation right now, is that he's Senior Benjamin. WWE version.
Yeah, who he could be. Yeah, because he is starting to tag with Matt Hardy lately, isn't he?
Yeah, well, yeah, because of the Jeff Hardy injury, Matt needs a tag partner, and so Jason Jordan has been helping out with that. I believe they've only been fighting the Miztourage, but they do also need to build up not Hell in a Cell, because that's SmackDown, but TLC, where we supposedly will have the Shield reunite. And so we need to start building up Rollins and Ambrose.
Reunited, and it feels so good.
Yeah, well, I'm not on that bandwagon just yet.
I've been begging and begging, if you guys listen to all the other podcasts, to get them hopefully back together. I said that's the only reason to get Roman Reigns cheering again. But first, before we get into all that, I want to just sit here and, you know, just open up today's podcast and just say, how's everything going? How's wrestling been for you in the last couple weeks since we last talked?
Life has just been hectic, so I've been able to catch up with some of the wrestling as well as be able to catch the highlights that I haven't seen yet on Raw and SmackDown. I hate to say this now, but I'm seriously considering dropping 205 Live. Ooh. Despite the new controversies around it, I've been waiting so long for them to kind of pull themselves out of the writing rut they've worked themselves into. And I'm thoroughly convinced that either they need to get new writers that actually care about the talent that they're writing for, or you need to get some kind of a commissioner character or something, which is sad because they just barely fixed the announcing issue. And I love the announce team for it.
Yeah, me too.
So why on earth can we not have like new 205 writers and actually developing plot lines for the cruiserweights? Either that, or maybe we could actually acknowledge the cruiserweights are part of Raw. One of the two I'll be happy with.
Well, speaking of that, they are starting to make a more part of Raw. The purple ropes are gone. Thank you. They main evented Monday Night Raw this past Monday.
That was surprising, yes.
Very surprising. Now, Enzo Amore, me and you both thought going to 205 would be great for him. And because he is, you know, the Skywalker trash talker. Yeah, go ahead.
I think it was more like we were having a love-hate relationship with him going to the cruiserweights.
Yeah.
Because there were some weeks where we're like, yeah, this would be a really great idea. And then I remember a couple of weeks where it was like, I don't like that. So it's a love-hate relationship, but well, Enzo Amore's on the cruiserweight division and there he's going to stay.
That's the life of a wrestling fan, love and hate, though.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, every angle that gets calculated for anybody, we all just kind of sit there and go, I don't know if this is going to work. And then the wrestler makes it work and we're like, yes, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to be fair to Enzo Amore, he has kind of made 205 Live a little bit more exciting to an extent. And it's because he's a big name. And now I don't know if you got to see all the comments he said on Monday Night Raw as we're talking the cruiserweight division here on Running the Ropes, Vito and Drek.
I got to see his comments and also his 205 comments.
Yeah, so he said some awesome things on Monday Night Raw that you never hear from cruiserweights, you know, saying I'm the one that's got the highest merchandise sales compared to the whole cruiserweight division. I'm the one that made this main event cruiserweight, which is really, really interesting. And I wanted to ask you about this because the cruiserweight division, it's been, how do I put this? Hasn't been taken seriously. Maybe that's a way to say it to an extent as well.
It's been 1 year since we looked at it, and whether or not it's successful, we don't even know. Yeah, this is really the... Because we're actually coming up on the first year anniversary of 205.
Crazy.
So at that point, has it been successful? Marginally. And part of that has been the arrival of Neville, and for him dominating that cruiserweight division, being able to define it while they work on the other characters. Because if you remember, like before Neville came in, we had Jack Gallagher. People were rallying behind him.
Yeah.
Some people did like TJ Perkins.
Yeah, he's starting to fall off too.
He's starting to fall off. And I actually, for a second there, I saw a promo of him on Global Force Wrestling. I thought he'd already made the move.
Oh, wow.
And I'm not sure yet, but then again, Global Force is going through a bunch of their own problems. But I mean, we had some solid plot lines, and then Neville came in and basically shattered the glass ceiling and became the Cruiserweight champion. A lot of us were very happy about that. A lot of us were very happy about the Austin Aries feud.
Yes.
And we're sad to see that go, especially the way it did. But we've had, it's been like one of those ups and downs kind of deal because, you know, we all care about what happens with the championship, but then we had the love triangle between Cedric Alexander, Noam Dar, and Alicia Fox, and we were all over that. And that's really the problem there is, you know, you could do a lot of stuff with the championship, but you need to have those other storylines to build into, and they really haven't had that yet.
Very true.
I know that people will bring up, well, Akira Tozawa joined the Titus brand. Okay, but the problem is that the Titus brand is not isolated. It's not just on 205, because you have Cedric. No, that's not right. Paula Cruz, who is on the Raw, who is officially on the Raw roster. And I'm trying to think, do they have a women's wrestler? Dana Brooke. Dana Brooke is also in the Titus brand. I believe.
Yeah. Who knows what's going on with that Titus brand?
It's weird. But I mean, we had that cool moment when Akira won with Neville, but then Neville got it back. And here's the thing: when Enzo dropped in, we all thought it might be a good idea. It might reinvigorate the cruiserweight division because obviously they did the whole separation with him and Cass, and so at that point he'd be an awesome babyface to be able to go up against Neville. Except now after No Mercy, it looks like they may be turning Enzo heel and Neville kind of tweener. And I don't know if that's going to work out because here's the thing. Enzo is correct. He is the moneymaker. He's got the highest merchandise on 205. He's the best thing to be able to do with that if he's a babyface. If you bring him in as a heel, you lose that merchandise. So at that point, his claim to fame is gone. What are you going to do with him then? And that's where I think it sucks. I think they should have kept him face, and it looks like they're more turning him heel.
Yeah, turning him heel would be, it's very interesting the way he won the title. Obviously, he won the title. We'll get into a little bit more of No Mercy coming up here on later in the show. He did a low blow, won the title, and was able to come back. And as you can hear, dogs barking around me, coming back around.
The dogs—they don't like the certified G right now. They do not.
Yeah, they're barking because we're talking about Enzo Amore. But the way that he found it, you know, he won the title. He, you know, low blow, and then he kind of rolled him up, and then coming out on Monday Night Raw, ending the show, he said, "Don't touch me," and then Neville. He kind of came in, was like the good bad guy, and attacked Enzo Amore. So we'll see if he'll get another title shot, because there was a no clause thing. But you know what? Kurt Angle did say it best. You do annoy me right now a lot on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, and backstage, there's also been talk that Enzo has incurred a lot of heat. And that's actually a lot of the main reason why he got moved to the Cruiserweight division in the first place. But frankly, I don't know if I entirely buy that, because if you put him on the Raw singles roster, I like Enzo, but he would drop like a rock. It doesn't make a whole, like, he's got a solid loss record as far as anybody is concerned, so it doesn't make sense for him to be on Raw. It would make more sense to do an emergency trade, well, and trade him for James Ellsworth, because James Ellsworth has more victories on his docket than Enzo does.
Over AJ Styles, don't forget that.
Over AJ Styles, the former WWE champion.
And he does have a WWE championship match under his belt he was in. Enzo Amore doesn't.
He does.
Interesting.
Doesn't he have two?
Probably.
Yeah, I think he has two.
And he's a WWE female Money in the Bank winner, too. But enough about James Ellsworth.
Yeah, enough about James Ellsworth, but comparing James Ellsworth to Enzo Amore, or Enzo is actually way further down on that, and so it makes more sense to move him to the Cruiserweight division, where he'd stand a little bit more of a chance. I actually like the idea of bringing Enzo to the Cruiserweight division, because nothing against the Cruiserweights, but it's great to have a couple of them that aren't high flyers. That's why I liked Austin Aries in that roster. It made more sense. Now we have some solid wrestlers as well as high flyers. So the only thing I don't agree with, as we've kind of pointed out, is now we have the whole don't touch me thing, and he's looking more heelish. And so at that point, that just makes us all go, but weren't you going to bring him in to be a face for Neville? Now you're not, so you're going to turn Neville face? But we like Neville as a heel. So what are you going to do? And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Now basically you have to bring in another cruiserweight type character to counteract what you just did with Enzo. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
And who can you bring in is the question, because Enzo is so popular and such a great talker compared to anyone else on 205 Live. And he's obviously got the most experience and the most fan base behind him. Yeah, Neville was great, but Neville, that injury really hurt Neville. Being out for all that time and then coming back, it was great for him to get a Cruiserweight championship opportunity, and it's great for Enzo Amore to get a championship opportunity and kind of playing the heelish role, like you said on Monday Night Raw, telling, hey, Big Cass, you thought I was holding you back? Well, guess what? Guess who won their first title, me or you? It was Enzo Amore, which I don't think anyone saw that coming.
Yeah, but they really needed, like, I think they started seeing the writing on the wall. They kind of walked in the same problem with Neville that they did with Asuka, is that they hadn't had enough title switches in between that. I mean, they had Akira, but that was it. And so they decided to do this and give it like a, I think this is going to be a solid rivalry between Neville and Enzo for the next two or three pay-per-views. In fact, I'm looking forward to TLC with those two.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
At that point, I mean, I can think of a guy. I don't think he's ready, though. The only person that I can think of that would be around the cruiserweight type weight scale, and I don't even think he is, would be Johnny Gargano. And I think he needs some solid work as a singles wrestler in NXT before we bring him up.
But we thought the same thing about Enzo Amore, too. I mean, no one thought he was going to be a great singles competitor. And we thought Big Cass and him should have never been split up in the first place.
Well, yeah, we agree on that. But now I'm just kind of looking at it because, well, we turned Cass heel on Enzo. And then Cass got injured, and now we've turned Enzo heel. Maybe you should have just turned that team heel.
Yeah, that'd been cool.
Because now, well, but see, here's the awesome thing, is like when Cass comes back, now they have something to agree on, and I have a feeling he'll go into the Raw division, but if he went into SmackDown, now you have a whole Shawn Michaels Diesel kind of situation where Cass is the bodyguard instead of the tag team partner.
Oh, man. Interesting theory right there. I think we've gave 205 Live their credit on running the ropes. We really don't give them enough credit, but that's a great conversation starter to start today's show. You guys are listening to Running the Ropes with Vito and Drek. How can people find out one of our latest episodes that we just did? Where did you put it up at?
We put it up at runofthropes.podomatic.com. So that's where the RSS feed is going to be. So you guys can check in on that on a weekly basis, or not on a weekly basis, because we record like every other week. So at that point, you could check in there for brand new episodes. And we actually do have the social media getting ready to get started. We just don't have them up just yet. I actually tried to get Facebook and Twitter up, and I think I was having name issues. So we'll keep you guys posted. But right now, runontheropes.podomatic.com.
Yeah, it's a great episode where we talked about John Cena taking on Roman Reigns, which we're going to get into here very shortly with our match at No Mercy. Before we get into No Mercy, though, I want to just touch base, because we didn't really get to talk about SummerSlam a lot. So I'm going to give you two key matches that I really liked, and then Drac will do the same thing, and then we'll kind of discuss the show overall. I think the first one I got to talk about is the main event, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe, which I don't know what's happened to Samoa Joe. Maybe you've got some more insight, because he's been gone ever since this match. And Braun Strowman.
I think he had a knee injury.
You get injured after that match?
I think he got injured after that match, and he's on the injured list. I don't know. I'll need to double check that, but I think it was a knee injury that he sustained. Not at SummerSlam. I think it was the Raw after that he got it, because I remember that being on one of the wrestling news outlets that I go to. So that may be why we haven't seen Joe for the last little bit. But so you have the main event. What was your other key match?
Oh, the other key match I liked. I was a fan of the Usos taking on the New Day, where the Usos defeated the New Day for the Tag Team Championships. And I thought that was a fantastic match, even though it was a pre-show match. It shouldn't have been on the pre-show.
No, it shouldn't have been. But frankly, what should have happened, and I know it's sacrilege to actually say this, but John Cena, Baron Corbin should have been moved to the pre-show.
Yeah, that match just wasn't good. It wasn't fun.
No, it really wasn't. I kind of felt like a half-hearted approach from both of them. And I think part of that is because Baron was pissed at recent events, and then on top of that, John was probably pissed because he wanted a better opponent. That's my guess. But yeah, that should have been moved to the pre-show, and we should have gotten New Day Usos to start SummerSlam.
Yeah, because that New Day match was amazing for SummerSlam.
Yeah. And actually, SummerSlam, so I have a love-hate relationship with it this year, whereas last year I loved it, including the ending. There was like one or two failures, I think, in last year's SummerSlam compared to this. This one I love, but I also hate, because some of the matches just were too short. Some of the matches didn't make a whole lot of sense. But one thing that I will take out of SummerSlam is title swaps. I love,
yes,
personally, when title swaps happen. And frankly, we got a whole new refreshing look at a lot of those divisions. We had Natalya winning the SmackDown Women's Championship, which is amazing. Alexa Bliss maintained her... No, she lost it the following night on Raw to Sasha. So that's what happened there. Poor Sasha Banks. Anyway, so then we had the New Day winning against the Usos to get the tag team championships back. We had, unfortunately, the Intercontinental Championship didn't change.
And that before you go on, that match, it was the Miz and the Miz Heroes taking on Jason Jordan and the Hardy Boys. No one was in the building, if you remember seeing the pictures. There was nobody in that building. I guess something happened with, like, tickets and the doors opening and the Miz the next night on
it's
Monday
like, that
night.
Was a really great match. We wish we could have seen it.
Oh, well, and then the next night on Monday Night Raw, he's like, oh, this is what a full Barclays Center looks like. As he opened up Raw, taking a shot at the fans and,
you know,
being on pre-show.
Yeah, that was kind of deserved. But we also had the final bout between Kevin Owens and AJ Styles, where AJ Styles became the new United States champion. And I actually love the new garb that he's wearing about that to go with it. Unfortunately, the WWE Championship didn't change hands, but we did have a solid rivalry being set up between Shinsuke Nakamura and Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, it's looking good, too.
And even though Brock Lesnar is still the Universal Champion, I will still give credit to that match.
That was a great match.
Because it's the only time I think I will ever see Brock get wheeled out and get to do the whole babyface thing of running back in to defend his title.
You just knew he was going to come back. I mean, you...
Actually, no. I thought that was going to be their justification to get him back into UFC.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's like he got so injured, so now he can go train.
Well, now the question I think that was on a lot of people's minds was John Bones Jones, who we talked about a little bit on the last show. If he didn't get suspended again and get kicked out of UFC, who knows if Brock Lesnar would have went to UFC. I really think he was mulling the decision to go back and fight.
Yeah, well, the other thing, too, was I don't know if you saw this, but I saw a little bit of a Twitter spat where is it Mark Hunt? The last opponent
that
Brock had.
Brock, yep.
Mark Hunt apparently heard the story about Brock coming back, and I think he actually like called Brock out to do another match to make up for the other match they had
because now
there's controversy behind it.
Yep.
So I was thoroughly convinced because I saw that right before I watched SummerSlam, and I'm like, they're gonna make him leave, and so this is the way that they're gonna make it work. And then he came back out. I'm like, well, first of all, that's the first time I think you'll ever be able to do that with Brock. And then on top of that, ooh, you know, now we have to look at this and go, okay, so he's not leaving for UFC. Although they're still talking about it, so don't take our word for it.
I don't think he's going to go back, honestly. I think he's making so much money in WWE, and he's not even, he works once every blue moon, full moon, whatever you want to say, but you know what? Brock Lesnar's starting to grow on me more, though. I get it. He's a Universal Champion. He's not there, but I feel like there's something, they're waiting for something big to happen with Brock Lesnar. I just feel like something's going to... Because the only person I can see coming in and taking the title away would be John Cena and making him have a retirement match or something.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, because after No Mercy, John Cena is officially he's doing the filming for the Transformers spinoff Bumblebee. So actually, you know what? That'd be a really great WrestleMania match.
Yes.
Because I think... You'll have to correct me on this, but... John Cena and Brock Lesnar has been pretty straight Brock Lesnar, hasn't it?
I'm pretty sure.
In their record. I don't think he's won over Brock, has he?
I don't know. I don't think he has, actually. We'll have to look
so
at
then
the
at that
books.
Point, that would be an awesome retirement match for John Cena to finally overcome the Beast. It's either that or The Undertaker, guys. It really is. There's only a few opponents that I think work for John Cena's retirement match. And as much as we heard the rumors about Taker training... Well, he wasn't at No Mercy, to my knowledge. So, yeah, I don't know if Taker's going to be the guy. I think it's probably going to be Brock Lesnar that retires John Cena.
Yeah, I'm trying to look and see if I can find the two taking on each other of like a database. You know, someone's got to have that.
Yeah.
On one.
I swear it's been Brock all the way, and it makes a whole lot of sense because they're from the same OVW class. And like I've said before, I'll say it again, the favorite child of that OVW class was Brock Lesnar. They did everything in their pet duck to try and get Brock Lesnar over, which, you know, listening to Jim Cornette was not the easiest task at all, and I understand that.
Well, I didn't find the record book for who beat John Cena, Brock Lesnar, but just think about this. The last time Brock Lesnar lost a match in WWE, it was to Goldberg at Survivor Series. That was the last match Brock Lesnar has lost. Ever since then, he hasn't lost any...
despite my mocking him, he's had some good matches since then.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a great rivalry with Samoa Joe. Even the SummerSlam match, you know, I'll knock Roman Reigns up and down as well as Braun Strowman in that match. But John, like whenever Joe and Brock had interactions, it was amazing. I can't say that so much for Braun. Braun actually had some good interactions with Brock. So, at that point, there were things to look forward to. And as much as I hate to say it, yeah, Brock has brought credit to the Universal Championship by being a part-timer and being as menacing as he is.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll kind of fast forward a little bit. That was SummerSlam. Fast forward to No Mercy, where Brock Lesnar was in a great match against Braun Strowman, where they built this up so good. And this was an actually solid match. It went for at least 9 minutes.
Before we move to No Mercy, I need to confirm something SummerSlam with you really quick.
Okay, yeah, we'll take a step back.
Were you the only... So speaking of Enzo Amore, was I the only one that gagged The second he started stripping in the shark cage and applying baby oil to himself to get out of the cage to fight with Cass. Because, look, I'm not saying Enzo looks bad, okay? But the fact that he had to go out in those, in just kind of dangling from the shark cage and start applying baby oil to himself to squeak out of the cage, I was just like, I don't need to see this part of wrestling.
When I saw it, I didn't think he was going to get out of the shark cage at first. I thought it was hilarious, and then I was like, okay, this is getting weird. Okay, this is really weird, and then he was dead. Then Enzo died that night.
And then boot. That's the funniest part about the whole thing, is like he dangled from the shark cage, he jumped down, only to get into a boot again from Cass, and then he was done. So it's just like, that's like four boots you've taken from Cass, Enzo. I think the boot's your weakness. If you were a Pokemon, that would be your weakness, and it is super effective.
Yeah, I think so, too. Fast forwarding once again over to No Mercy. We just talked about Brock Lesnar, how him and Braun Strowman, I thought they had a fantastic match. Went about 9 minutes, it says, on the after times of No Mercy. Brock Lesnar, again, he defeated Braun Strowman. This was a really good match, so I think Braun Strowman is a great competitor. I think if there was a man that Brock Lesnar should drop the title to, it should be Braun Strowman.
I'm not necessarily on the Braun train just yet. I will admit that as a giant, and I'm going to call Braun a giant, I think they've officially been able to confirm he's not that, because he's just below. But at that point, I think Braun for a giant can work. Okay, that don't take that the wrong way. I think Braun can work, but I just don't think he's got enough of a move repertoire to be able to be entertaining past 10 minutes. And I love championship matches that last longer than like 20 minutes. I really do. Those are the ones that get you on the edge of your seat. And I will acknowledge the Braun Brock match was good. But it was good in the same way that Brock, this is going to be the problem with this match, Braun and Brock. Brock Goldberg at WrestleMania was good, which was, it was a bunch of spots and it lasted less than 5 minutes, kind of thing. In this case, less than 10. So that's really my beef with the match. Am I going to say it's good? Yes. It needed to last longer. You know, the Universal Championship and the WWE Championship matches, those should be freaking long in pay-per-views. And right now the Universal Championship has that issue. Not always, but with Braun and Brock, that was going to happen. So it's one of those things where I like the match and I agree with you, Braun did well, but I kind of want a different, and I want a smaller opponent for Brock come TLC. And I think we've confirmed Brock won't be at TLC.
Okay. Well,
I think they're going to save him until Survivor Series.
Yeah, he usually does big pay-per-views, bigger pay-per-views that are...
I think the only reason we've seen him so often these days is because he has that title.
Mm-hmm. And he has to be out there with the title. I thought it was a great match. It was one of the best matches of the night. The other one of the best matches... that I didn't like the finish to was John Cena against Roman Reigns. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm watching this match, and I'm saying, man, this is like boring. And then it got into it. It got interesting. You know, John Cena got speared through a table. After John Cena does a super AA off the top ropes and does another attitude adjustment, and then Roman Reigns is kicking out left and right, we got a new super Cena in the place. Roman Reigns does one Superman punch and one spear, and John Cena loses? Are you kidding me? He's one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, and you have Roman Reigns do that to him? And then afterwards, now, this is John Cena being John Cena, raises Reigns' hands and saying, this is the new guy, please believe in him, almost passing the torch.
So John Cena has officially joined the camp of people who have done this, and it hasn't worked, because The Rock has done it, technically The Undertaker has done it, and now John Cena has. Correct me if I'm wrong, we had like three AAs in that match, didn't we?
I don't know, he kicked out of all of them.
Yeah, so we had three AAs. That's the interesting part, is like we have multiple AAs now in John Cena matches, and he did them. He pretty much pulled out all of his major moves in his arsenal. I think, aside, trying to think, did he try to STF him?
I don't think he did, actually. Yeah, he did.
I don't think he did. So that's the other move in the arsenal that he probably didn't use. But yeah, Roman's not Goldberg. There have been many people that have been able to pull off a spear. And so it doesn't make a whole lot of sense unless you're freaking Goldberg and we have that for people to be pinned with a spear and a Superman punch. I really do think that if you're going to do that, If we're going to lock Roman down to the spear and the Superman punch, there needs to be multiple ones of them, and there need to be multiple opponents, because just seeing that one Superman punch is kind of deflating to the match.
100% agree.
So it's one of those things where actually you and me are going to be in disagreement. I didn't hate the Roman John Cena match. I thought it was okay.
Yeah. Same here.
Was it AJ Styles, John Cena? No. But was it okay? Sure. But I will tell you this. I thought it was a really bad move. And I know, John, you're a good guy. You want to help get these guys over. I get that. But look at who has done what you tried to do with Roman, and it didn't work. If The Rock couldn't make that work, if The Undertaker couldn't, why even try to do that? You really should have just, you know, I would almost say go down the AJ Styles route. Take one of your bands off and put it in there and let Roman have it as a trophy. I think that would have done a lot more for Roman than you sitting there and going, this is the guy. And you wondered what, actually... If I remember, no, he wasn't surprised that he got the boos, because he got a chorus of boos right after, because nobody's buying this crap anymore. And I'm just curious, did you see the promo that Roman did the following night?
Yeah, he did the similar one that John Cena did to The Rock, right?
Yeah, so where he did the thank you to John Cena and thank you to the one following it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
So he did the following night where he did a promo to The Undertaker as well as John Cena, where it was just Roman being real and saying, you know, now I have this really big legacy to live up to. That's great and all. But the problem is that Roman still feels like a heel, and I have a feeling they're going to paint him as a heel for quite a while now. Nobody's getting behind Roman. And that's a sad thing, but Roman needs some work.
And we touched on this at the start of the show. Really the only thing that's going to help him, and they kind of teased it on Monday Night Raw, is a Shield reunion with the Miz Taraj, probably being the first group to get him.
Yeah, except I don't want the Miz Taraj to be the ones. Like, I actually agree with a lot of the online commentators saying that the Miz Taraj kind of feels beneath the Shield. Really, what should happen is the Shield gets so pissed they get involved in... I can't even believe I'm saying this, but I kind of hope this is going to happen.
Say it.
We have been hearing rumors of a certain club coming back.
Ooh.
The Shield versus the Bullet Club, people. That would be amazing.
I want to see AJ Styles and that's not the club you're talking about. Do you want more Bullet Club members coming?
Well,
right?
Yeah, because we have Gallows, Anderson, and Balor. I think Gallows and Anderson are still on the active roster. We haven't seen them in a couple of weeks, but...
Yeah, because they're being nerds.
Nerds! So at that point, we do have Balor, Anderson, and Gallows all there. You can establish the Bullet Club, or if you're worried about the naming, Balor Club. And then at that point, you can have that as a solid rivalry. Nothing against the Miz Taraj, but I look at the setup you have. You have Ambrose, Rollins, and Reigns. All big guys, with Miz, who is roughly the only big guy in that lineup. Nothing against Bo Dallas or Curtis Axel, but that's why they're with the Miz, is to build them up, and they're not there yet. So that's why I kind of looked at the Miz Taraj and went, really? You know, they're really just kind of the heelish bodyguards. They're like this. Okay, this is the perfect example. They are what the Singh brothers are to Jinder Mahal right now. To the Miz. That's what they are. We all acknowledge that. Instead, we would like to have like legit fighters like the Bullet Club take on the Shield. That would be a much more worthwhile match.
I agree. That would be great to see something like that happen. Hopefully WWE can do something and get something going, because we're seeing a lot of talented wrestlers from ROH and TNA slowly coming back to WWE or NXT, which is great to see. And I love it. to see everything happen. If the Bullet Club Shield thing would happen, it'd be great. I don't know what other group that's in WWE right now that can really compete with the Shield, though.
There really is. The New Day, but the New Day is off on SmackDown.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be a great battle.
Because that actually would be ideal, because then you can... Correct me if I'm wrong. I wasn't there for the Shield era. The Shield were heels, weren't they?
Yes.
They were like the Nexus. They were against WWE established.
They were the heels that everyone loved.
Yeah, but they were established as heels.
Yeah.
So then at that point, you could put them up against the Ultra Face New Day. Because they're kind of supposed to be painted as heels, but everybody loves them. And that would have been actually a really great Raw versus SmackDown crossover. And hint, hint, this should probably happen for Survivor Series. If you're going to put them all together at TLC, right after that is Survivor Series. We need to have Raw versus SmackDown. Let's have the Shield versus the New Day.
That'd be great.
But aside from that, the only other... Because you have to think faction. And the only other factions that are coming to my mind are Miztourage, which is the only one on Raw that they could do it with, aside from the potential club. Sanity out of NXT, you can do that, but I don't think aside from Eric Young, I don't think the other two are ready to go, so that's not a good idea. Although a TLC call up would be amazing.
Yeah, it would.
For that. Those are the only other legitimate factions I can think of that you could put the Shield up against, and so that's why in a lot of cases I don't know if I buy the Shield reunion, because at that point, you have the faction, but you have no rivals.
Very true.
That's the thing that kills it.
Roman Reigns defeated John Cena at No Mercy in a very interesting match, I think, to say the least. We talked about Enzo Amore knocking off Neville. Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins not only knocked off Cesaro and Sheamus, but they knocked out a couple teeth from Cesaro. Interesting, right?
Well, we know what song Cesaro's going to be singing this Christmas.
And all he wants for Christmas, huh? It's two front teeth.
All he wants for Christmas is my two front teeth.
Yeah, he'll be singing that a little bit. He's singing that at Halloween time right now.
Oh, yeah, but the sad part is, like, you feel bad for him, because I don't know if you actually saw, like, his face during the match. He was, like, sitting there going, oh, man, I've broken my teeth. Now people are going to think I look weird.
I know, huh?
And he took the loving Twitter pictures and all that, but, oh, man, was he bummed when that happened.
Anytime you lose any kind of teeth, you're bummed, I think.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm not knocking Cesaro. I feel bad for the guy. In fact, somebody was actually pointing out on Twitter, maybe this is a recompense for you ripping apart the beach ball at SummerSlam. I don't know. But I feel bad. Yeah. Man, that was still a good match.
He shouldn't have done that. That beach ball had a family, man.
Yes, that family at Walmart.
That was great. I thought that was awesome to see that.
I actually like the moment at SummerSlam, but I know a lot of people hated it.
Yeah, I thought it was
oh,
funny.
Man, you... Here's why I'm not mad about it. Cesaro and Sheamus are supposed to be a heel tag team right now.
Yeah. And
so it makes sense for... Guys, this is always the way I will look at heels and faces. Chris Jericho is an ultimate heel. And the reason he is because he maintains the character. He actually looks at it and goes, if I was a heel, I would be mad about the fact that people are playing with beach balls out in the audience. And I would go out into the audience section and get that beach ball and rip it apart. So at that point, when Cesaro did that, I didn't think it was just to get people back on the match. I thought it was a really great heel move for him to do, especially since he's kind of he was the face, now he's the heel. So he needed to be able to get that heat.
Yeah, and he got the heat, definitely. But Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins retained their WWE Tag Team Championships, which was great. They're still tag team champions. Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt, I'm done with it. I don't want to see it anymore, but it seems like they're still continuing to push it down our throats.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, because I did like the return of the Demon King at SummerSlam. Okay, that was actually a really cool thing, because a year before he came out as the Demon King and won the Universal Championship. But the problem there now is that we've already had the ideal match that we wanted. We wanted the icons, not the men, and you made us have a man to man match. Of course Bray is going to be the heel. Of course Finn's going to be the face. I'm not saying it was bad. I actually thought it was a really well thought out match. But at the same time, it was a match that we didn't need or want. Like, I literally looked at No Mercy and said, okay, who else in this card can Finn Balor go up against? And who can feud with Bray Wyatt? Unfortunately, I came up with no answers aside from people that were already involved in other matches.
Yep. They've lost my attention, and then they did it on Monday Night Raw again. I could care less about it. I don't want to see these guys fight anymore. Finn Balor deserves more. Bray Wyatt deserves more. I get it. There's only one top dog, and it's Roman Reigns right now. And no, and it's just Bray Wyatt and Finn Balor are just in an awkward place on the chopping block, so to say.
Well, the problem also is that you need to have somebody legitimate for Bray Wyatt to feud with. And I think that's the main problem that we have with this Finn Balor Bray Wyatt thing, is that this doesn't really feel like it's beneficial to Balor. It feels like it's more beneficial to Bray, because Bray needs somebody to go and feud with, and he doesn't have the Wyatt family anymore. Most of his Wyatt family counterparts, well, there's Braun, but Braun is now established. But then you have Luke Owen and Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, who are now embracing new gimmicks on SmackDown Live. So what else are you going to do with Bray aside from have him randomly feud with people? Well, the only high star that they have available, again, if Samoa Joe is injured, is Finn Balor. And even then, like, what else would you have done? Balor versus Samoa Joe? Actually, you know what? That would have been awesome for No Mercy. That would be amazing.
Yeah, and you know, they should have done that. They really should have. It would have been a great match for everyone involved.
See how I walked myself into a corner there? It's like, yeah, that would be actually really cool. Yeah,
you made me think of it, really. Made me sit down and think about it. I like it. I like the ideas you're throwing at me. There's another match that we can get into. Alexa Bliss took on Bayley, Emma, Nia, and Sasha. Came away with the championship back around her waist, or I don't know. That Raw title gets tossed back and forth so many times.
It really does. And you know what? I'm just curious. Did you actually hear the Sam Roberts podcast that came out of SummerSlam? Sasha and Seth both got interviewed, and Sasha made it very clear on that podcast that she was pissed off just as much as the fans were, that she can't seem to maintain a title reign for longer than a month. Because I mean, if you look at her whole Charlotte feud, she's maintained the title for 7-14. She's never hit it past a month.
Sorry to cut you off. Is this the same podcast where she said that people walking around the airport is stalking?
I don't think so.
Because she had something recently, and I don't know if it was on that podcast or not, but she was like, people that go to the airport, you know, it's stalking, I don't like it. And then all of a sudden everyone was like, well, guess what? Get out of the professional.
No, it released like 2 or 3 weeks after SummerSlam.
Okay, got it.
And because Seth and her interviews released at the same time, and they both had controversial deals, one of which was Sasha made it very clear her being pissed off at the storylines that have been handed to her. In fact, people actually looked into it. She's basically setting herself up that when her contract runs out, she might not necessarily renew with WWE. She might be looking for other indie engagements, which would be sad because I like Sasha.
Yeah, me too.
But it's one of those things that's been pissing me off, is that Raw Women's Championship, just it gets hot potatoed, and it doesn't get hot potatoed at pay-per-views. And I think that ultimately hurts it, because you had a 5-way women's championship match with a returning Bayley, who already has a feud with Alexa
and
Bliss.
And shouldn't have been in that match, I think. I get it. She was in her hometown. They wanted to make it something pop, and I get it.
Yeah, and so it's one of those things that's just like, yeah, because it was in Alexa's hometown, wasn't it?
Oh, well, Bayley was added to the match in her hometown.
In her hometown. Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought. So at that point, it really should have been Bayley that walked away with it, because the last time she was in her hometown, she lost, and she lost horribly. So at that point, we should have made up for that. But then again, you also had a really good rivalry going on with Sasha. Emma and Nia have just been kind of thrown in as additional problems. Yeah, it nothing against Alexa. I like what they've done with Alexa, but that title needs to, I really do need to see it on somebody else. I'm worried that they're going to do the same thing they did with SmackDown Live, where Alexa wins it, but she holds on to it for far too long.
Agree. Before we get back into the women's wrestling part, and I just want to really recap the rest of the match. The Miz took on Jason Jordan. You call Jason Jordan the next what?
According to internet rumor, he is the next Senior Benjamin in the WWE Broken Hardy universe.
Yeah, because Jeff Hardy is going to be out sometime with an injury. What do you really think that does for Matt Hardy's career now? You think we're going to see the broken Matt Hardy finally come aboard?
Here's the thing. Nothing against Jason Jordan. I want a singles run out of Matt. And the reason I want it is because we need to establish the broken character now that we don't care about Global Force. Okay, it's very clear WWE doesn't care about it. So at that point, we need to have that singles moment for Matt to establish the broken character and for him to have a legitimate opponent. I actually think this would probably be the best place to put The Miz, because where Miz is like an A-lister actor, and then having somebody who's legitimately broken get pulled into the mix, that actually might be a really cool intercontinental title match between the two of them. Poor Jason Jordan. I'm not making fun of you, Jason. I actually think you had a really solid match with The Miz.
Hey, that's Kurt Angle's biological son. Okay, you can't talk bad about him. That's the Raw GM son.
I'm not speaking bad about him, but because, I mean, and No Mercy, one of my favorite matches was actually The Miz versus Jason Jordan.
That was a good match.
It was a good match, and I loved one of the particular spots of it where he did like a, I don't even know what it's called. He did a full arching suplex and then merged it into another arching suplex. That was like something I would expect Kurt to do. That was something I'd expect Brock to do. Or maybe Chris Benoit. And then, Chris Benoit would do it.
And then is The Miz going to just continue being the Intercontinental Champion for years and years? And by the way, I want to congratulate The Miz and Maryse on the announcement of a new baby coming into the world with those two.
Yes.
It's going to be a beautiful...
Please keep Maryse off camera. We don't need Maryse vlogs on, you know, how the pregnancy's going.
Yeah,
okay?
Like Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Total Bellas, yeah. Their little addition?
Yeah, and nothing against them. It's just like, I see people doing this online where they do the pregnancy vlogs, and look, I've gone through pregnancy, not actually gone through it, but my wife went through it.
Breaking news,
and
you've gone through pregnancy.
Breaking news, yes, exactly. I tried out one of those new artificial wombs. didn't work out so well. I definitely had to take that thing back. But no, the problem is that when you do those Twitter vlogs, you are not capturing the, well, grossness of pregnancy. Yeah. And so it's always going to be all glammed up.
Exactly.
And I have a feeling that if you're going to do that with Maryse, you'd have to do it that way. And I don't want that. But I actually do like the fact of keeping her off camera, because now we can have a more focused on the Miztourage Miz. And actually establishing Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas better instead of having him just be, you know, have the arm candy around him and it's all about the Miz.
Okay, what's going to happen first? Is John Cena and Brie Bella going to get married, or will Maryse have her baby first?
The Miz and Maryse will have their third baby by the time the John Cena and Nikki Bella get married. I'm not being mean.
No,
it's just,
I know you're not. That's why it's funny.
I actually went out after the engagement. This is how weird I am, is like, I actually do want to see their relationship. I went off and watched a bunch of relationship moments clips on YouTube.
So you watched Total Bellas?
Not actual episodes. That's not clips. And so at that point, I'm just like, okay, but the problem is your relationship is kind of, it's beautiful, but it's subdued. It's subtle, not subdued, subtle. And so at that point, when John can actually get around to it, you will get married. Which is not happening anytime soon. So that's why I'm saying The Miz will have her third child, or the Miz and Maryse will have their third child by the time you actually get married.
Okay, I like that. As we're coming up, we're almost the end of the show. It's a little bit shorter show than normal. The lights are going out over here in my place. I forgot. I didn't know what I thought. I didn't know winter was here already, because it is so dark all of a sudden outside, and it's not even 8 o'clock yet. I wanted to get into a couple stories that I've heard about, and some of the stories you've heard about. We kind of recapped No Mercy and SummerSlam on today's episode. And just one more time, Running the Ropes podcast is going to be up on Podomatic. All you got to do is search Running the Ropes, and we're going to have all the new and latest episodes. You can go to it right now and look at our and listen to our former our last episode, I should say, as I'm mumbling, fumbling, and stumbling over this like promo I'm trying to cut here.
You can listen to my competent argument about sending Roman Reigns back to NXT.
There we go. See, you're the John Cena. I'm the Roman Reigns right now, and I'm messing up my lines.
It's all right. It's a promo. You need to learn how to do it. But yeah, there you go.
This is good. This is a good practice. Roman Reigns, he looked pretty good. Maybe I can get better at it too. Send Roman Reigns back to NXT, Running the Ropes podcast, Podomatic. Go check it out. A story I wanted to kind of touch base with you is about Asuka going to be debuting at TLC. What's your thoughts?
Yes. I don't like it. And the main reason I don't like it is because I don't want her to go to Raw. Nothing against Asuka. I think she's Raw caliber talent. But right now, when I look at that Raw roster, it is full. And it is full of heelish characters, and that's who Asuka is. I've never seen babyface Asuka. I'm sure she would just be the exact same. But the Empress of Tomorrow needs to help fill out the SmackDown roster, as far as I'm concerned.
I think it's going to be really great for her to come debut at TLC as long as she gets the right opponent. I think Emma will probably be the opponent.
Oh, well, I'm just going to be right. I'm going to be honest right here, right now. She needs to be in the women's title picture. That needs to be her debut. We're talking about a former NXT Women's Champion who held it for 553 days. That is unprecedented. And here's the thing. If you look at all of her promos, it's all of her dominations in NXT. So at that point, if you're going to establish the hype by using NXT footage, you need to put her right into the title picture. I'm not saying that she needs to be going into singles competition against Alexa Bliss, if that's who it is, but at least a triple threat with a returning Asuka.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Asuka's got such a good background and, you know, such a great resume, I guess you can say. And what she's done in NXT is remarkable. It really is. She's done nothing but great things being a part of the NXT brand. She was the face of the women's brand for so many years after Bayley and Sasha left. It's bittersweet to see her leave NXT. But I really hope that they don't screw up. And I'm talking to the WWE writers, WWE in general. Do not screw up Asuka's character like you did with Bayley. Because Bayley has not been the same ever since she left NXT.
And I agree with you completely. I think they've screwed up Bayley something fierce. I think that the revival hasn't necessarily recovered from it. Shinsuke is still battling with it. Bobby Roode hopefully will not have to deal with this too bad. But right now, that's kind of the curse and the stigma. NXT is the second you move up to the main roster, everything that made you awesome in NXT is just forgotten or it's utilized poorly. This is why I'm saying move her over to SmackDown, because unlike the established Raw women's roster, she is such a wild card to the SmackDown women's roster. I'm not just saying like set up the matches, face or heel, you can put her either way, and the Empress of Tomorrow changes that whole picture on SmackDown Live. Just think of a championship match, because we can pretty much guarantee that Charlotte's, like, we haven't seen Hell in a Cell yet, but Charlotte's walking away with the title. That's going to be, because she's returning home. It's heavily anticipated that she's going to walk away with the title. Now look at that from a perspective of Survivor Series, Charlotte versus Asuka.
Think about that. Whew.
You have the natural pedigree versus the 553-day reign. That is an amazing setup. That's why in a lot of cases, I really, really hope that they decide to forego the TLC premiere and put her in Hell in a Cell. Or not in Hell in a Cell, but Survivor Series.
Yeah, I think hopefully that's something that happens. Another female I want to turn base to before we get to back to the Flair, because if we do want to, I want to talk about Ric Flair. We didn't get to talk about him last time. Paige is speculating that she's going to be coming back. Her social media posts are being more brilliant, and we're starting to see some WWE content with her. And
she's cutting promos.
Yeah, I think she's coming back, and it sounds like it could be against Emma.
Yes. So you actually had to bring this up to me. I didn't even think about it that way, but she. Emma's now taking credit for the Women's Revolution or the Divas Revolution, whatever she wants to eventually call or whatever they want to call it. She's taking credit for it. And, you know, like I said in the previous episode, I thought she was calling out AJ Lee, which was never going to happen, which is monumental heat for Emma. But now having a returning Paige come into the mix, Yeah, that changes that whole picture completely. In fact, it kind of makes me like in TLC. I think that it would be a great setup to have a returning Paige go into a feud with Emma at TLC in a TLC match. Like the first, because I don't think, have we had a women's TLC match yet?
Yeah, we have.
Okay, so I was going to say, if that was like the first ever, that would be a really great way to come back from all of the controversy for Paige to do the first ever women's TLC match. But unfortunately, it doesn't. But still, it's a really good rivalry to go into.
Yeah, it would be great to see that happen. And that would be a great way to get Paige to come back. Now, this is the only thing that... Now, WWE has two options here. And with bringing Paige back, I should say. The first option is you bring Paige back, you leave her as far as way, leave her away from Xavier Woods. Second...
Well, that's why they're on that's why they're on different brands. Again, Asuka should be on SmackDown because Paige is coming back.
Or this is the second option. You put Paige on SmackDown Live, let everyone get their last joke together in, and then move on from it.
Well, she's officially Raw roster, and she's only showed up at Raw shows, hasn't she?
Yeah, but she could be, you know, they could trade her and all that stuff. You know, they could say that it didn't work out very well on Raw, and then maybe they make it a joke with New Day out there, and Paige, you know, comes out and ruins some kind of party.
They have to acknowledge it at least a little bit. They have to do at least a back behind the scenes thing with either up down down or with Xavier, just to get it out of the way, and that way they don't have to worry about it. But Does Paige have history with any of the former horsewomen?
I don't know if she does, actually.
Does she have history with Natalia? Like, I'm trying to think of, like, who's been there the longest?
Natalia would be it. I think that would be a good one with her.
And I don't think Paige has ever had a rivalry with her.
No, but they've always been, like, friends and stuff together.
But it would... This is why, again, I'm making the argument again. Asuka should move to SmackDown because she's such a wild card there. Move Paige to Raw. Have her feud with Emma. You can even have her go up against Nia Jax, and it makes sense. You can have her go up against Sasha. There's really good potential for Paige to remain on Raw, and then to go to SmackDown, you should have Asuka go.
Agree. Again, we're running out of time here. Run the ropes. Vito, Drac, thank you guys for stopping by and tuning in and listening to us. Ric Flair, he escaped death once again this past month. He was on the deathbed. And I don't know what stories you've heard, but he's been on radio shows that I've been listening to, and he was saying that he's done with drinking. He was an alcoholic. He had a problem.
Yeah, he said that before, though.
And now I know he did, but I don't know if this is going to change something. Obviously, they're promoting his new book that him and Charlotte have out now together. But Ric Flair, man, escaping death once again, and I mean, we got a couple woos out of him still. Ric Flair still, he kicked out once again, just like Bret Hart did when he had that cancer scare.
Oh, he cut some nasty promos on Twitter. That's how you knew. This is how you know Ric Flair's healthy, is that he cuts promos.
Yes.
The other thing too that I wish I could confirm, but somebody actually said that they had to release him early from the hospital because he had a harassment lawsuit from the nurses, and the main thing was that he was slapping them on the butt.
That's when you know the Nature Boy was back.
That's the second sign that you know that the Nature Boy is perfectly healthy, is he's already creating sexual harassment lawsuits.
Yeah, he was styling and profiling in the hospital.
Hey, man, if there's anybody who could do that from a hospital bed, it would be the Nature Boy. So at that point, first of all, like, I got to ask this question right off the bat. Did you actually think, given the news that we were being given where we didn't know what was actually going on with the Nature Boy, did we actually think that this was it, that he was finally, that he was going to be cashing in his chips?
I thought it was over. I really did, because I thought everything he's lived for, the lifestyle he's had, the alcohol problem that we've known he's had in his life, I honestly thought this was the last time. But I didn't know what it was, so I didn't know what happened. No one knew anything, and now what comes out and says that it was a bit of the alcohol problem. But they did say that the doctor said everything was not working except for his liver, which is very interesting.
Very interesting considering Rick's lifestyle.
Yeah, so, but he came out of it, which is remarkable. And like we said, we didn't get to talk about it much on it, but I mean, we're both happy he's alive and doing very well, it sounds like. And it would have been a very interesting thing for Charlotte to deal with if Ric Flair, something happened to him during this year.
Yeah, because I mean, at that point, I think even you may need to correct me on this, but Charlotte's been off camera for I think a little while. Part of that was the Rick situation. So at that point, it would have been, I think it would actually would have fueled her a little bit. This is going to be morbid of me, but it would have been a great fuel for her to go into Hell in a Cell and win for her dad. But yeah, the problem was is that nobody was confirming anything because I remember that the day that we were hearing all this stuff, one person was saying it was a heart issue. One person was saying it was an intestinal issue. One person was saying he was walking in with the flu. And so that usually to me is like a good sign that you're cashing in your chips when the doctors can't even confirm what it is. Thankfully, though, Rick made it through. And then we were able to see that the Nature Boy is back and up and running. I didn't hear about the alcohol stuff. That's new to me.
So he said that on a radio show I was listening to when he was doing an interview, and he said he's done with all that stuff again. And he said, yeah, but the way he was talking, and you know, he was just saying, yeah, I'm done with all that. But then the guys asked him, like, can you still woo? We don't want you to like die or something, you know. So he was still able to woo on the show, and he sounded really good. From the interview he had that I heard.
Yeah, nothing against Rick. I do believe that if he wanted to get off of the booze, that he could. I do believe that could happen.
I agree. 100% agree with you.
But Rick's lifestyle tells us otherwise. Like, he will delve right back into the lifestyle. So I'm hoping that is the case. Because the Nature Boy, I think, has got another solid 5 years in him. And actually, this is, again, going to sound morbid, but I really think it would be a worthwhile thing for NXT to... I don't know if they've actually brought him in for coaching sessions, but he needs to be there right now.
Yeah.
I think that right now we need to benefit from what Rick knows for the next generation, because Rick is still getting up there in years. That's the sad part here. He could cash in his chips at any point, and there's only so much that Arn can teach us. We need the Nature Boy! So at that point, I'm glad he's healthy. I'm glad that that he was able to make a bounce back. I hope we get to see much more from the Nature Boy in the coming years, because these are going to be amazing times until, unfortunately, he has to pass on. And then all we have is that ultimate collection of woos and styling and profiling that he's left.
Yeah,
us.
It's going to be, I mean, obviously right now it's...
So keep yourself healthy, Rick.
Yeah, we want
keep
Rick Flair healthy. To get healthy and continue to be healthy, because we want to see all the woos, and we want to see you be there to see Charlotte Flair break the 16-time women's championship. Will probably be this year.
He also needs to be our first ever wrestler interview on Run of the Ropes.
Yeah, Ric Flair?
Yeah, we need to get... Rick, you need to stay healthy, and here's why. Because we want to bring you on the Run of the Ropes podcast, and we want to be able to interview the Nature Boy and learn all that we can on the styling and profiling and the jet stealing and, jet flying. Ah, dang it, I already ruined it.
Give me two claps and a Ric Flair. Woo!
Woo! We need to learn so much from you, Rick. So make sure to keep yourself healthy so you can join us on the Run of the Ropes podcast.
Yeah, it'd be great to get the invitations always... Always here, Rick, for you, and hopefully you're doing much better. For another edition of Running the Ropes, we want to appreciate everyone stopping by and tuning in as they always do. We've had a great, great show today. You know, we talked about Paige possibly coming back, Asuka making her WWE debut at TLC. We recap No Mercy. We've got Hell in the Cell coming up. We got a lot of stuff left to go, and we got much more to talk about, don't we?
We do. I mean, obviously, we have Hell in a Cell, we have TLC, we have Survivor Series, and I think we got some pay-per-views after that. So we've definitely got those. We've got all of the wrestling news that happens on a weekly basis, and you guys can catch it when we are able to get together on runoftheropes.podomatic.com for when we can actually report on this stuff. Until then, you can also reach out to us on Twitter. I am at Drac2326. And I believe yours is at David Vito, isn't it?
Yeah, real David Vito. Always join the conversation at me on Twitter and hit that follow button and tweet me any wrestling questions you have. We'd love to talk about it. I usually tweet about Monday Night Raw and SmackDown every chance I get. So it's always a great
time.
Actually,
if you guys want to ask specific questions to us, you can also send them to runoftheropespodcast@gmail.com. It's all one word, runoftheropespodcast@gmail.com. And we will answer them on the air so you guys can get those on the podcast. Feel free to ask whatever you guys want. You know, whether or not we actually think Kurt Angle is going to return to wrestling, whether or not we think Daniel Bryan is going to go to ROH, we'll answer it for you.
Yeah, we got anything you want to hear. We got you guys. Everything on Running the Ropes. Thank. As I'm another promo going bad here. Another episode in the books. Thank you guys for tuning in. For Drac, I'm Vito. Running the Ropes is out for tonight. Have a good night, everyone. Stay safe. And the Nature Boy, continue to woo!
This is Dusty Rhodes, and I have to not approve all of the promos that have been done on this podcast. They needed a lot more preparation. And they need to come down to NXT, and we'll work on that for you. Because I'm the American Dream, and that's how Dusty Rhodes do it!